Well, we've been talking about praising God over the last couple of months, I guess. I don't know when we started this. We've been in Psalm 145 through 150. And we haven't looked at every verse, and we won't. Obviously, what we do, or I do, on any subject is not exhaustive of the subject. But we have seen quite a few things about praise that I think hopefully has encouraged us, and where we have seen various aspects of our lives that bring praise to God. And the theology of praise for who God is, the purpose of praise, the evangelism of praise that we've looked at, the blessings of praise, and then the encouragement of praise that we have. When we praise God, it lifts us up and gives us encouragement. It's a blessing returned. There is no praise to God that will ever go up to Him without an effect upon us. And hopefully we'll see that in a few examples tonight. But it comes back to bless us. God gives it back to us in a blessing, and that's what the writer has expressed here, and saying it's good to sing praises to our God, and it's pleasant, and praise is becoming in chapter 147. And we were kind of in that chapter last night, if you remember, we said that there's three statements in this chapter. Verse 1, a statement to praise the Lord, for it's good to sing praises. Verse 7, sing to the Lord with thanksgiving, sing praises to our God. And verse 12, praise the Lord, O Jerusalem, praise your God, O Zion. Then after each one of those verses comes a sort of a commentary as to why. Why you should do that. And obviously, we talked last week about the providential care of God, the things that He gives us within our lives every day, and the various things. And remember, we talked about last week one of the most moving verses of all of Scripture, that He counts the number of the stars and calls them all by name. That is unimaginable to us, but we understand that God's mind is so vast, yet He is so detailed upon us. And we, as human beings, are allowed to be able to praise this magnificent God that can do something like that, and we can't even begin to gauge what it is. And the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ, in Colossians, Paul says, all things are held together by the power of His might. So not only does He know everything by name, but it all moves and it all functions by His power. If God just folded His hands, the universe would fall apart. There's nothing that holds it together but His will and His power. And He has made it. And that's so much in these chapters about creation. It's just the authority of God over what He has made. But I thought that, we've talked a lot about the various aspects of praise, that it may be good to begin to work on an application. That you and I can focus on and understand. Now, we all thank God for various things and many things in our lives. And we all praise Him. And we sing praises to Him and so forth. But there's reasons every day for us to have an attitude of praise. And I think we ought to look for it. We talked about that last week. We ought to seek praising God. But I think there are so many incidents in Scripture where this has taken place. under various situations, that I think it would be an inspiration to us. And, you know, I've said this many times, and I know y'all remember everything I've ever said when I preached, and I hate to say things over again, but the people in the Bible were just folks like us. They weren't superhumans and super Christians. They were just like we are. They didn't see God every day and sit down and chat with Him. They lived by faith. Now, some of them did. Or saw His mighty works. But for the most part, they just lived lives like we do. And they lived by faith. And I think that some of the things that they did, some of the things that God brought them through, can be a very positive inspiration on us. I'd like to take, we only have two nights left of this, because I think we're not going to be here Christmas Eve, are we? So we've got next week and then the week after. It might be a good idea to put one night of that and have everyone take part and just share your thoughts about praise. I've thought about that. Unfortunately, you don't get too many audiences or congregations to do that, but it still might be a great idea, because as I got to looking and seeing in the Scriptures, praise is something that is very important, and it goes all the way back. It's not something that's unique just to the New Testament church or something that's unique to us. Obviously, the psalmists are writing about it here long thousands of years before Christ ever came on the scene. But I wanted to tell you what the word praise means. I never did do that. And I like to do the little word studies. I do them because, and this is kind of in prelude to what I want to say about these situations of praise, but I like to see what the word says. It intrigues me. I'm not a Greek or obviously a scholar of any type of language, but I have to study it on, I do use the internet to study, but it kind of gives a rich meaning to the word and kind of gives you an idea of what they mean. And praise is used both in the Old and the New Testament. In the Old Testament, it means to praise or to sing, or a hymn of praise or adoration or thanksgiving that's paid to God. And it doesn't give you a lot of background on the word, but it just tells you that's what it is. Now, in the New Testament, it's a little bit different, deeper meaning. And you were talking just a minute ago about the two young men who confessed sin and who came to know Christ. And that's, you know, if we ever think that that's not a very important form of praise, then we're wrong, because it is. But in the New Testament, the praise word means to confess, profess, acknowledge openly and joyfully, to even celebrate. Now, we don't do a lot of celebrating in the old Calvinist churches. We don't say a lot, and we don't stand up and clap our hands and all that, but it means to celebrate, to profess that one will do something, or to promise, or to agree. Now, the word praise in the New Testament comes from two words. The first word means to come out of, to come from something. And it's a action or motivation proceeds out of something. And the second word is a word that's very familiar to us. It's the word homologeo. I know we all know that because we've talked about it. I have, and Brothers Jim and Jim have. And it means to say the same thing as another one. It's used in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. You confess our sins. The word confess is this word. It means to say or to agree with another, or to concede or to promise, or to admit or declare one's self guilty of what one is accused of. And it means to declare openly or to profess one's self the worshiper of God. But it's an action word that means to come out of. So it comes out of us, it proceeds out of us, and what proceeds out of us is praise toward God. And that can be in the form of confession, or it can be just praising God. And I thought that was very unique. I was shocked that that word was the same word, because it means to agree with something. Homologeo, homo, the same. Legeo, logic, words speak the same. So it means to speak the same. Are you agreeing with God when you praise God? God says He's worthy of your praise, isn't He? He said, honor me. I'm a jealous God. Put no other gods before me. He says, I'm worthy of your praise. So when you praise God, you're agreeing with Him. And it's important that it proceeds out of us, out from our hearts. And I think that sheds a lot of light on it myself. I thought it did anyway. But praise is an open expression proceeding from oneself in worship of God for the purpose of honoring, praising, and celebrating who He is and what He is doing. Now that's just it in a nutshell. And that's what you and I should do. That's how we should live. And that's what the writers here in the Psalms are telling us. And it is so important that so much of this book has been set aside for it. Now, if you go back through all the Psalms, there's various Psalms of praise all through the book. But the last six chapters are devoted to the term praise, to the action, to the reasons why, and to the importance. Because if we don't live a life of praise, if we don't praise God, we will wilt. That's the best word I can think of today to express that. It's just like the flowers on a hot summer day that don't get water, they're going to wrinkle up and wilt away. And that's important. It's very important to us to do those things. Well, I went back and I looked at various places and different people, and I thought I would try to illustrate some things about praise as it took place in the lives of actual people within the New Testament and the Old Testament, within the whole of the Bible. And for various different reasons. Back in Exodus chapter 15, you don't have to turn there, you can just listen. Because I'm going to move around. Don't turn. I don't like y'all to have to work. Just take it easy. Because you all know all these scriptures by heart anyway, or the situations that they're in. After the Red Sea collapsed upon the Egyptians, Moses and Israel sang a great song to the Lord. If you hadn't read it lately, go back and read it. It made me feel about that high today. Because nothing like that's ever come out of me. And I know it's Holy Spirit inspired, but still, they had just saw something that they could probably never even really describe. Imagine seeing something so grand. Is the sea opening up. And I don't really think that was a little 3-foot end of the sea. I mean, the heart of that thing opened up. And a pathway was made for them, and those who pursued them died. Every last one of them died. And they sang this great song to the Lord and prayed this great prayer. And it was a prayer of praise. And in verse 11 it says, who is like you among the gods, O Lord? Now there's only one God, but there's many gods. There is only one God. Now you remember, these people the Egyptians' bodies are still washing up on the shore. They've been slaves for 400 years. And I can just imagine this whole congregation of people on their knees praying and singing to God. Who is like you? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in praises, working wonders? majestic in holiness. God just killed no telling how many people. But He's God. He has a right over what He's made. And it wasn't like they didn't have a warning. Over and over again, the plagues came upon Egypt and they hardened their hearts and they wouldn't listen. And now they've seen this awesome act. And they're praising God for His deliverance. Unbelievable as it was, there was no escape. Nobody had any boats. And that many people couldn't swim that far. A great act of deliverance. And it brings praise. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been delivered from something by this awesome, holy God? I just took two plane trips. You know what? That plane stayed in the air. Have you ever been delivered from a tragedy? Something you could see. These people saw this. It wasn't at the end of the day, Lord, thank you for your protection today, and they didn't know. They saw it. Didn't think about it till afterwards. It brought praise out of them. It came out of them. And they lifted up their hearts and praised to God. I was all up in Chattanooga. I used to travel all the time. I was in Chattanooga, Tennessee one night, grocery company, and there was two or three of us there, and we were going out to get some dinner. I'll never forget this. And didn't think about it till later, but busy highway there, most motels on a busy highway, and I wasn't driving. Carl was driving, and he pulled out. And I mean, there's a truck. It wasn't an 18-wheeler, but it was just a regular truck. That if he hadn't, he went all the way across both those lanes into the other lane going the wrong direction to keep from hitting us. I believe I was delivered from a tragedy. We would have been killed. The Israelis would have been killed by the Egyptians if God hadn't have intervened. Now that may not be always spectacular, but we can't say, well, okay, never mind, Lord, the guy, he turned and missed us. God had a reason to keep me alive. He had a purpose. I had never even met Jim Gables yet, or Jim Gunn, so that was the purpose. I hadn't met y'all, I wasn't here. But these people praise God for His great deliverance. And you and I may not think of anything spectacular, but every day, beloved, we're delivered by God. We're kept by Him. I have a sermon, Kept by God in a Hostile World. If I think about it, I'll scratch up my notes and preach it again, but it just made a lot of sense to me because they had just seen this awesome act. And we know what would happen in later years. And I think about praising God. I think about Nehemiah chapter 9. And Nehemiah chapter 9 is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. And y'all hear me say that all the time, so I got quite a few of them, but I about wore the pages out on this one. I still got room for some more notes, though. But because it shows God's forgiving, long-suffering grace toward Israel, and it can be applied to our lives. How long has God been patient with me? How long suffering has His grace been to me? Over and over and over again. And the people here begin to pray. They read the scriptures all day, half the day. And then they begin to pray. And they begin to praise God. And I think were praising him for his long suffering, and they mentioned over and over again how Israel had been delivered by God and then had sinned, and God had gave them over, and then, but when they cried up to the Lord, he heard them and he delivered them again. Spend another 10 minutes in that chapter when you get a chance. I know I'm giving you a lot of reading assignments, but over and over again, and if you can't relate that to your life, over and over again, he delivered them. And I call this praise to God in the midst of judgment, because Israel was not a free nation at that time. Israel was a captive nation. And they said, because of all this, yet we are slaves this day. But yet they had a heart of praise. They had a heart of praise toward God, even in the midst of judgment, because they were judged by God because of their disobedience. Now, I got to tell you, it's real easy to praise God when the bank account's full, everybody's well, everything's going all right, nobody's sick, no major problems. But you know, a lot of times, a lot of the problems we get into is because of our disobedience. Now, that may not apply to any of us here, and I say that facetiously. But even in the midst of that, we still should have an attitude of praise. Here's a whole nation led by one man who had the inspiration of God to rebuild the walls and to put Jerusalem back together again. They acknowledged over and over again their sin, and while they're doing that, they're still in captivity. And they say over and over again that they're in judgment, that God's judgment is upon them. They acknowledge it. But you know, they didn't ask him to lift it. They just praised him for who he was. Sometimes we deserve what we get. Now, that's not fun, and ain't none of you smiling. But that's part of it. That's the Bible. That's the gospel. Ask Peter. He spent a whole long night of weeping and crying. Got treated like a little kid on the seashore one day. Got embarrassed. He was a rock. Petros. Stone. Yet he became a little mud puddle. Wishy-washy. See, we got to pray. Our praise to God comes no matter what affects our lives. And I'm not talking about bad things. I'm talking about God's judgment. I thought about Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 17, where he praised God. Even you think about Jeremiah's situation. He preached and preached and preached and preached and preached. How many thousands were saved under his ministry? How many hundreds? How many in one hand listened to him? You know, you're going to go preach and preach and preach, and nobody's going to listen to a word you got to say. That ought to give all of us encouragement. But yet Jeremiah praised God. And he praised God in the midst of desertion and rejection. Listen, everybody's not going to believe what you believe. Everybody's not going to embrace the gospel you embrace. Some people are going to be real nasty about it. Just belligerent. Well, turn on the news now and see what the knotheads, I forget the name of the group, putting up the signs at all the Christmas things about there is no God, there is no angels, there's just
atheists.
Yeah, well, they call themselves something different, but an atheist is, yeah, pretty well. Not everybody's going to agree. And unfortunately and sadly, most people who hear the gospel reject it. Walk away from it. The great majority of them. Jesus preached to probably 15,000 people one day. Fed them, remember? 5,000 men plus women and children. Fish and bread. Pretty good meal. Next morning they showed up wanting breakfast. Jesus started preaching to them. And out of all those, they all left. It's a sad, sad, sad commentary. And, you know, Jesus turned and looked at the disciples and said, are you going to leave too? Kind of gave indication a couple of them was picking up their bags. Of course, they didn't. Everybody's not going to listen. Sometimes it even causes us problems in our family. You may have a brother, a sister, a child that won't hear the gospel. And you may sometimes feel like you're deserted or rejected by that person, whoever it may be. But, beloved, praising God is good. And it lifts us up and it makes us understand one thing. That our Lord Jesus Christ took that cross by Himself. He was deserted. He was laughed at. He was mocked. We in good company. Just like He said at the end of the Beatitudes, as they did the prophets before you. You're in good company. Praise God. Because that's what we are to do. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11 and Luke chapter 10. I've jumped over to the New Testament now. Because praise is in throughout the Scriptures. He said in Luke chapter 11, verse 25, at this time Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed it unto babes. He praised His Father for hiding the truth from the arrogant scoffers and revealing it to the humble. Have you ever praised God? Don't answer this, but there's no danger of you doing that anyway. But have you ever praised God because somebody wouldn't believe the gospel? I don't know that I've ever done that. I don't want anybody to go to hell. I don't care who they are. I'd like to see the vilest offender, he'd have to be second after me, come to know Christ. But beloved, we can praise God for being a sovereign God and doing as He wills. Brother Jim said it a minute ago. Take Jesus into your heart. Or that you're saved because a sovereign God chose to save you. And thanking God for who He is one of the greatest blessings that we can have. And praising Him. Not because people reject the gospel, but because God's sovereign will is done. And Jesus praised Him for that. Paul and Silas praised God while they were in jail that night. And a man and his entire family came to salvation. You remember that in Acts chapter 16. They were in Philippi and they were in jail. Instead of grumbling and griping, they were singing and praying and lifting up praises to God. All the jail cells got open and the jailer was going to haul off there and kill himself. They preached the gospel to him. He was redeemed, his whole family took care of him. How we react to situations matter. Because people watch. People know who you are. They know you claim to be a Christian. They know you come to this church every Sunday. They know how you live, and how we react to situations matters. But to me, they were praising God, and they may not have understood their circumstances. You think you become a Christian, everything's going to go well. These little boys were in jail. And their only crime was they preached the gospel. They had cuts in their backs where they beat them because the jailer took care of them, remember? May not have understood that. Turn on the TV, and if you are a Christian, everything's going to go well for you. You're going to do well in your job, and you're going to have money and all this, friends and all. Christian ought not to have too many friends outside his church. That's right. Count them up and see if I'm telling the truth. But they were praising God. And God used that praise to save a man and his whole family and no telling who else down through the years because of his testimony. And it was because of praise. Paul says to praise God in Philippians chapter 1, verse 11, for the salvation that we possess in Christ. Lift praises to God because the salvation that we look at outside of ourselves that Brother Jim was talking about a moment ago is in Christ. And we should praise God for Him. Because if He looks at me and if He takes me into consideration, I'm in trouble. But it's not about me and you, it's about Him. And then in Revelation, the saints praise Him in heaven. Everything on earth and heaven praises God. And that's why the writer in Psalm 150 just finally, when he got to the end there, he just summed it up and said, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. You think that the angels and the saints in heaven are praising God tonight? And never going to stop. We're praising God here on earth as best we can in our limited capacity as human beings. But there we won't have any limitations. See? We're not going to get tired from trips, and we're not going to be sick, and we're not going to be limited. We're going to be able to praise God all the time, and I don't think it will get old at all. We'll have to go home and rest and get ready for work the next day. Praising God will be your work. Among other things I'm sure He's got for us to do. I don't believe floating on a cloud strumming a harp is going to be it. But all the way down through the ages, men and women who have been saved by God's grace, whether it was Noah, Adam, or you and me, or these two young men that just come to know Christ this week, last week in Mexico, all of them, our duty, our obligation, our privilege is to praise God. Why? Well, Psalm 145 through 150 tells us. And mostly because He's God. And because He is the author of our life and our salvation. And I think as we... And there's more examples. I wanted to get into Mary's beautiful song of praise after she found out she was pregnant with the Lord Jesus. And Zechariah, John the Baptist, after he got his tongue back, first thing he did, hauled off and praised God. Let's praise God in our life, beloved. It's honoring to Him, and He returns the blessing of it to us. Father, thank You for our time together tonight. We pray You'll bless these weak words, Lord, with the power of Your Holy Spirit to our hearts. Let us be people of praise. praising you every moment of our lives for all that you've given us. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.